Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you again on this beautiful Sunday morning. I tell you what, the weather has been fantastic this weekend. We, without a doubt, got a little nice rain, which is good. It helps the farmers, and also, too, it just helps those of us that are hoping our grasses get green and grow again. And we are thankful and blessed we did not get the snowstorm that out west that they got, and also in northern Iowa. My daughter, she lives out in Colorado Springs, and she said, "Dad, we got 2 foot of snow when that snow came through, and a wind blew so much, it was like blizzard-like conditions. They had 5 foot snow drifts in their driveways," and they said all of them and the kids went outside scooping snow, and thankfully a person drove by in a tractor that had a bucket and dug them out. So I'm thankful we did not have any of that kind of snow here in Iowa. But with that being said, we just got a few announcements that's coming up. We have our Vitalman motorcycle ride coming up the second week of June. And you're not going to want to miss that. That's going to be on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're going to head for La Crosse, Wisconsin. It is going to be a great opportunity to go out as men, see the beauty of the scenery of God's creation. Great fellowship with men, and we're also, too, going to have some great food. We always find some unique places to go. So I just encourage you, give me a call at 641-660-7715 or email me at mike.sarig@mahaska.org if you would like to come. We would love to have you, and it is going to, again, it's going to be a great time as men to go out and see God's beauty and enjoy riding our motorcycles out and about. Also, too, we send out devotionals 7 days a week, both for men and women. There's 5 writers on the Vital Men's side that go out. Also, too, on the Women and Vital Life, my wife writes for those as well. So you can go to Vital Ministries on our website and actually sign up if you want to have those devotionals sent to you on demand. So if that would be something that you would be interested, we would love for that to happen as well. So just encourage you to think about that and look at that. Also, too, I just wanted to touch base. And, you know, it's always with anything in ministries, we do need financial support in order to make it happen. And if that would be something that you would like to do to help us, being on the radio and doing the different ministries that we do, it doesn't come free. So if you would be so inclined, the Spirit leads you to do that, you can go on our Vital Ministries website. You can see how you can pay. You can actually pay online if you would like as well. But if the Lord so moves you that way, that would be great. We would greatly appreciate it. And let's get started this morning as we look as the kingdom of God. And we have so many different moments of what it means to have the kingdom of God. This past week, I had an opportunity. There's a local lady in town here in Oskaloosa that was just in a jam, and she needed someone to speak to some ladies down in Ottumwa on Tuesday morning, and also to speak to both men and women here in Oskaloosa at Pepper Tree. And it was interesting, as she was asking me, the first speaker that was going to speak for them, that person was sick and could not do it. They've been fighting some sinus infection and just didn't feel up to it. Well, the other guest speaker was from Minnesota, and they shared with this person that said, "Hey, we're snowed in. We cannot make it. So this person in Oskaloosa gave me a call and said, "Hey, Mike, is there any way that you would consider speaking to our ladies in Ottumwa and also to speaking to the men and women right here in Oskaloosa?" So I took it up and I went. And it was just a great experience. What was the thing that was most significant is the kingdom of God moments. And one especially that I noticed is in Ottumwa. There was a young gal down in Ottumwa. She's actually Jerry Smith's, remember Jerry Smith's cycle ranch at one time down at the Hedrick Y. And she is his daughter. And she just shared her testimony of what God has done in her life. She was in a horrific wreck and just was shared her story. And as I was sitting there listening to that, man, it was a kingdom of God moment to hear how God was moving in her life, how he was restoring her both spiritually and physically. And she had a kingdom of moment with God in pain. And she just asked God to either take her pain or take her because it was so significant. And the Lord heard her and answered her prayer. And a lot of times, folks, we wonder if we call out to God, if we cry out, does he hear us? And I believe without a doubt that he does in those moments of our lives where we just need his help. We need that special touch. And that's exactly what happened. And this woman was, I tell you what, folks, was for me, was a kingdom of God moment, and I was inspired greatly. And I looked at the lady who asked me to speak. I said, are you kidding me? How in the world do I follow her? But it was such a great time, and just of great fellowship. Just want you to think about moments when you get moments to share your testimony. Paul tells us, always be ready. So does in 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter says, always be ready to give your testimony so that it will become in spirit and truth. I just encourage you to do the same. But today we're going to continue our teaching series, The Kingdom of God. And we're going to look at David the Giant Killer. Now this morning, my first point is this. Maybe you're traveling down the highway today. You've turned it on KBOE 104.9 FM. We want to thank you for listening. Hope you sit back. Enjoy the programming that we have today. I believe it's insightful. And most of all, I think it will give you a nugget for your day and also to how you can apply it to your life. So thank you for listening. Also to those of you who are headed for church, thank you for listening as well. Have a great time in church this morning. And oftentimes many will say, hey, Mike, this is my church time, and I just want to thank you for being faithful and to listen to KBOE 104.9 FM and Vital Ministries as we join together to bring the gospel message. But my first point, number one this morning, is this, a fearful army. So if you have your Bibles today, we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 11. We have a lot of scripture to jump through today, but again, I think it's essential that we hear from the Word of God what God says to us as opposed to what man says. So let's jump in this morning and see what the Lord has to say for us. It says, starting in verse 1, the Philistines now mustered their army for the battle and camped between Soko and Judah, and Ezekah and Ephes. Saul's command, captured the gathering of his Israelite troops near the valley of Elah. So the Philistines and Israelites faced each other on opposite hills with a valley between them. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was 9 feet tall. He wore a bronze helmet, and his bronze coat of mail weighed 125 pounds. He also wore a bronze leg armor, and he carried a bronze javelin on his shoulder. The shaft of his spear was as heavy and as thick as a weaver's beam, tipped with an iron spearhead that weighed 15 pounds. His armor bearer walked ahead of him carrying a shield. Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. Why are you coming out and fight? He called. I am the Philistine champion, but you are the servants of Saul. Choose one man to come down and to fight me. If he kills me, then he will be our slaves. But if I kill him, you will be our slaves. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, it says, they were terrified and deeply shaken. Now, here's some interesting things that we can pull out of that portion of the Bible is that we see a fearful army, but we see some different things. Let's first kind of talk a little bit about each man. Let's talk about David first. David was the son of Jesse. He was the last born. He was the direct lineage of Jesus. David in his life was always dependable. David was also a spirit-filled man and spirit-filled in his decisions. David was guided by God with a providential hand. Now, you can see the hand of God literally on David in his life, and especially as it all begins to encounter. This moment in David's life will forever shape him as he goes through his life, his trajectory, also his legacy of how he is as a man. Now, let's look at Goliath. Goliath was a Philistine. Goliath had a great height. He stood 9'9". Can you imagine that kind of height of a man that would be playing on the NBA today? Man, he could stand flat-footed and just dunk all day long. But this man was significant in height. Goliath was a man who served Baal. And also, Goliath was arrogant and had anger. Now, I want you to notice something about Goliath's challenge. A warrior would fight him and let the armies watch. The victor takes the spoils and rules over the other. And that was really the challenge that Goliath was really putting towards King Saul and the Israelite army. You know what? If I win, you serve us. If you send out one of your men and beat me, then we'll serve you. Now, that was simply a taunt because we obviously realize that when he's going through when we read the portion of the Bible, because they actually don't do that. They actually run for their lives after Goliath is defeated. But that's so often the enemy will do. He'll try to get us to make a deal with him in our lives. If you'll only give me a deal, and then I will do this. But if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen. And that's what we got to pay attention to as we face the giants in our lives. But also notice King Saul. The king of Israel, he was terrified and deeply shaken. Deeply shaken means you are disturbed psychologically, as if a physical jolt or a shock. You ever had in your life where you were ever experienced a traumatic experience in which shock created something out of the events in your life? You were absolutely in shock. And I tell you what, folks, those moments are hinder us in our lives, don't they? They make it so we freeze in the midst of the moment. That's why I so much love, because we have just recently with the Sheriff's Department, I'm very thankful of being part of that organization. But one of the things that they teach us is that you can't freeze in the midst of moments. You cannot be afraid. You got to rush into moments in which there is danger. And I tell you what, sometimes it's easy to stand in a moment of shock and be apprehensive and be afraid. But they call us to move into the moments. And that's exactly what is going on in King Saul. Now, it's also interesting, too. Goliath had two deadly sins in his life that are which we would call capital sins. Pride, an inflated, unrealistic sense of yourself, of worth. And also, too, he was filled with anger and excessive, improper desire to exact revenge. I tell you what. Goliath had some pretty nasty things in his life, and you can actually see the seven deadly sins. If you go to the book of Proverbs chapter 6, 16 through 19, you can see those deadly sins, those capital sins that maybe that you're struggling with in your life. And I just encourage you, if you see some of those things, you see some of those deadly sins, man, I tell you what, get rid of them. I've been struggling, as I shared with you multiple times on the radio, with this whole situation with anger in my life and fighting, trying to fight through and asking Holy Spirit to please help me to get past the anger and see things in a different perspective. And I tell you what has helped me to do that, I quit watching the news. I've quit being on social media so much. I've really had to, even for the most part, I've had to listen very minimal of what the prophets have to say about the day and age in which we live. I'm going more and more to what God speaks into my life, going more and more about what the Bible says in my life, and I'm finding there's rest and peace in those moments that are greater, because what I truly can trust is what the Bible says. Which leads us to our next point this morning is David hears the giant. So let's go to, again, we're in 1 Samuel 17, and let's look at 12 through 31. Now David was the son of a man named Jesse, an Ephraimite from Bethlehem in the land of Judah. Jesse, his father, was an old man at the time, and he had eight sons. Jesse had three oldest sons, had already joined Saul's army to fight the Philistine, but David was the youngest of his other three brothers and was not a part of Saul's army. But David went back and forth so he could help his father with the sheep in Bethlehem and also go and get reports for his dad. For 40 days, every morning and evening, the Philistine champion strutted in front of the Israelite army. One day, Jesse said to David, "Take the basket of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread and carry them quickly to your brothers, and give them 10 cuts of cheese to their captain. See how your brothers are getting along, and bring back a report on how they are doing." David's brothers were with Saul and the Israelite army as the Valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines. But let's keep going a little bit further in this text. It says this, "So David left the sheep with another shepherd and set out early the next morning with the gifts as Jesse had directed him. He arrived at the camp just as the Israelite army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts and battle cries. Soon the Israelite Philistine forces stood facing each other, army against army. David left his things with the keeper of supplies and hurried out to the ranks to greet his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, came out from the Philistine ranks. Then David heard him shout his usual taunt. As soon as the Israelite armies saw him, they began to run away in flight. Have you seen the giant? They asked. He comes out each day, defies Israel. The king has offered a huge reward to anyone who kills him, and he will give the man one of his daughters for a wife, and the man's entire family will be exempt from paying taxes. David asked the soldiers nearby, "What will the man get for killing the Philistine?" ending his defiance of Israel. "Who is this pagan Philistine anyway who has allowed us to defy the armies of the living God?" Now these are pretty some interesting things as we go through here, but let's continue reading a little further. And these men gave David the same reply. They said, "Yes, that is the reward for killing him." But when David's oldest brother, Eliab, heard David talking to the men, he was angry. "What are you doing around here?" he demanded. "Why don't those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know your pride and your deceit. You just want to see the battle." "What have I done now?" David replied. "I was only asking a question." He walked over to some others and asked them the same thing and received the same answer. Then David's question was reported to King Saul, and the king sent for him. Now, here's some significant things that we can see through this portion of the Bible. Whenever you step out by faith, the enemy is always sends someone to discourage you, and it's often within your own home. We see that especially in David with his oldest brother, Eliab. David's simply talking to the soldiers, trying to get a lay of the land, understanding exactly what is going on and what is happening between the Philistine army and the Israelite army. He's just asking questions. But you notice how his brother comes and challenges him as being the younger brother. What are you doing here? And I know you good enough. This is what you're up to. You're trying to just see what the battle is. And I find it interesting so often when we face things in our lives and also too things within our own life. Isn't it always interesting how family and friends will come against us and always bring out the negative in our lives? And I don't believe any of that has to do anything with God himself. And I love that how he just goes out and continues doing. He does not allow what his brother says to defy him. And God is always calling us out to be men and women of God. He calls us out to be leaders. He calls us out to do different things in our lives. But so often family members will challenge us and tell us what we can't do as opposed to telling us what we can do. And I find that so true, especially in ministry myself. Folks, in ministry, oftentimes it's a family member. They won't necessarily come and participate in helping or also to seeing what's going in ministry in your life. And the reason why I say that is because they know everything about you. And they also too, sometimes it's simply hard for them to conquer what has been said in the past, sometimes the situations that go together in a situation. And sometimes I think family, it just gets messy. But see, another thing that we can see something different too is Jesus makes a statement in Matthew 10:36, "A man's foe shall be that of his own household." That promise was true of David's life. His brothers hated him, and David wouldn't allow family and their words to discourage him. He was the anointed one. He is the one that God had called for such a time as this. And don't you notice that King Saul hears what going on in his life and goes and calls him out. So let's see what's going on there as we continue in 1 Samuel chapter 17, starting with verse 32. "Don't worry about the Philistine," David told Saul. "I'll go fight him." "Don't be ridiculous," Saul replied. "There's no way you can fight this Philistine possibly and win. You're only a boy, and he's a man of war since his youth." But David persisted. "I have been taking care of my father's sheep and goats," he said. "When a lion or bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb literally from its mouth. If an animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and club it to death. I have done this to both lions and bears, and I'll do this part to this pagan Philistine too, for he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from that claws of that lion and bear will rescue me from the Philistine." Man, can't you just see in David as he's speaking to Saul, he knows what God can do. He's standing in the midst of the moment to go against the Philistine champion. And at the same time, God has prepared him in the time of him watching sheep. As he watched sheep in his life, in his younger years, he would kill lions, and he would also kill bears, pull them literally from the mouths of both lions and bears and any other hostile animal. And he was reminding King Saul, I've done these things, and God has helped me. I today will take on the Philistine champion, and you will see what the living God can do, not only through what he has helped me as a shepherd, but he will also help me in my life. And I think, folks, when we have go against champions in our lives that the enemy sends against us, and we go against them, and it's simply a challenge. It's simply that things are hard in the midst of our life, but we've got to fight through them. Just most recently, it's been a period of time since last year, March, until this year, March, I have went through testing and also to have to pass tests and shooting and different things and all, to be a deputy sheriff in Mahaska County. And I tell you what, it has been difficult. Taking the tests have not been easy. It has challenged me both mentally and physically, both as I was in the classroom and also too on the field as I shot my weapon. And I tell you what, there's times that I literally prayed to God and asked him for help. One of the things we had to shoot for night qualifications when we were shooting. And the interesting thing was that you either had to have on your weapon, you would either have a light on it or you would have night sights and have to use a flashlight in order to shoot what they asked you, the target. Now, interesting enough, I did not have night sights on my weapon. So I had to hold my flashlight close to my face, hold it tightly in order to see the sights and shoot, which meant I had to now shoot my weapon at 15 yards one-handed and shoot with 80% accuracy. Normally, always your body will pull to one direction to the other if you try to shoot a weapon one-handed. And without a doubt, I was pulling to the left. And I just start praying, Lord, help me to qualify. You have brought me to this moment. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt, you will help me tonight so I can qualify and I can pass. Sure enough, the Lord answered my prayer. I got an 80% qualification. I faced my giant and the Lord helped. But let's continue. Saul finally consumed. All right, he says, go ahead, he said, and may the Lord be with you. Then Saul put on David's armor, bronze helmet, coat, and David put it on and strapped it over him. Took one step and he could see he could never go to battle wearing such a thing. He says, I can't go in these. He said to Saul, I'm not used to them. So David took them off, picked up five smooth stones from the stream and put them in his shepherd's bag. And then armed with only a shepherd's staff and a sling, he started across the valley to fight the Philistine giant. Goliath walked towards David with his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering and contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. Am I a dog, he roared to David, that you come at me with a stick? And he cursed David by the names of his gods. Come out here, and I'll give you flesh, your flesh to the birds and the wild animals, Goliath said. David replied to the Philistine, you come to me with the sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of the heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head, and then I will give your dead body to your men and the birds of the wild animals, and the whole world will know that God is who God of Israel is, and everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people. So the battle began. As Goliath moved closer to the attack, David quickly ran to meet him, reaching into his shepherd's bag, taking the stone, hurled it with a sling, hit the Philistine in his forehead, dropped him, and David used it, took out Goliath's sword out of his sheath, and cut off the head of Goliath, and won the day of battle. Man, isn't that an incredible story as you look at that today? See, King Saul couldn't see that David couldn't wear his armor. He was still a youthful boy. And what we learn from that is sometimes the armor that God puts on us doesn't fit other people. And God uses us uniquely as we all face giants in our lives in different ways. And I encourage you with that this morning to realize you have to use the armor that God gives you, not the armor that someone else has. Another thing that we notice is Goliath. He tries to intimidate David with words. says, "Am I a dog?" and then starts taunting him and cursing at him. You got to remember, the enemy will do the same thing. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy the joy and our love for Jesus in our lives. I think that's what the greatest Goliath that we face today in the midst of Christianity. The enemy is always trying to remind us of who we are instead of listening to the Holy Spirit telling us this is who we are, as we step into the future and hold on to what God has in our lives. This story, folks, is an impactful, and we can see how God uses us significantly in a, such a way to conquer and go ahead and defeat the giants in our lives as we go through this life, and how the kingdom of God comes and prepares us in moments. We see once again that God qualifying the unqualified to show his glory. He does this throughout David's life, and if you read that, and this is the beginning of the story of the kingdom of God. Now, next week, we're going to read John chapter 12 about Jesus, because it's hard to believe, less than 2 weeks, Easter is upon us. Next week, we're going to talk about the final entry. If you want to read ahead on John chapter 2 and read about what it means to the final entry as Jesus comes into Jerusalem. But let's pray this morning before we close. Dear Jesus, again, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for the opportunity to be and to read your words and how they applied as King David took on a Goliath. Lord, there's people out there this morning that have Goliaths in their lives. And I pray that as they take on those Goliaths, that they don't take them on their own, that they allow the Holy Spirit's power to work through their lives and to help them to be victorious, that we still serve the living God as King David did back in the day. The armies of the living God, we still serve the armies of the living God today. And they will help us, and they will help us be triumphant in all that we do in this life. In your name we pray. Amen. Folks, I hope today that this is an encouragement as we continue our series, The Kingdom of God. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.